present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from last Saturday's Telegraph, read by Corey Caulfield.
Delights in Salamanca include the two cathedrals and the stunning 16th century church, which dates from 1215.
And our thanks to Sue Reeve for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Andy Hamilton. And opposite them on my left, Fred McCauley and Jeremy Hardy. Well, my favourite story of the week. Francis, whose yachting holiday has left him up a creek without a paddle?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful having Peter Mandelson back? You just get a better class of scandal when he's around. You get Russian billionaires on their 250-foot yachts and Rupert Murdoch sailing alongside and Rothschilds in mansions in Corfu. And this is his natural habitat. So, of course, when you bring him back, you will get a lot of these people. And the big mistake, little George Osborne thought, well, I'm a big boy now, I can hang out with these people. But he couldn't, because he didn't understand. Rule one, if you're hanging out with billionaires, is don't diss Mandelson, because he's best mates with most of them. And that was what Osborne didn't understand. He was so thrilled. He came home after this trip to Corfu with his little party bag and his balloon. He never guess where I've been. And told everyone about it. I think he's been sent to bed, actually, with no dinner and told he can't ever go and play. Can't ever go and play with these big boys again until he learns some manners.
It was all quite entertaining, that Osborne's discomfiture. I don't know what if he's done anything wrong or not. It's like Archer. I just want him to go to prison. He's just so horrible. You know that when he was in the Bullingdon Club at Oxford every day, he had a fresh street urchin brought to his rooms for tormenting. He's just so horrid.
But the thing about Osborne strikes me is that clearly he's been guilty of a lapse of judgment, but what he's also shown is a complete lack of patriotism. Because he's sitting on a yacht next to the richest man in Russia. He knows that this country is billions of pounds in debt, and he asks for £50,000 for the Conservative Party. What is that?
Well, that was just the first round. If he'd got through that, he would have then upped it to 100,000.
Right.
That's who it works on, who wants to be a billionaire.
I mean, this guy probably does have enough money to bail the banks out. I mean, there'd be a quid pro quo, you know, but we could give him Wales or something. Call it Oleg Land, that's all right.
Perhaps this guy, Deripaska, he's the king of aluminium.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a sort of crap King Midas, doesn't it?
But Mandelson can be accused of all sorts of things, because the thing is, he's supposed to be a Labour politician. Thing is, therefore, he can be accused of being a hypocrite because of hanging around with the super rich when, you know, the point of the Labour Party is supposed to place the interests of the common good ahead of the rich. But for Osborne, you can't accuse him of anything because he's behaving exactly like Tories are supposed to. The only way you can ever accuse a Conservative of a hypocrisy is if they walk past a homeless person without kicking them in the face.
But I don't think Osborne can pull it off, because you see those wonderful pictures of the Bullingdon Club with him and this Rothschild character in it, and every single person in that photo looks like Malfoy from Harry Potter. That sort of slicked back hair and the sneer and all the rest of it. Except you look at Osborne and he's trying to be Malfoy, but he can't do it.
Isn't Malfoy well. Mandelson's new title? Isn't he called Baron Malfoy?
Baron Malfoy, he is, yes.
Of Voldemort.
Shadow Chancellor George Osborne's political career is on the rocks after allegations that he illegally solicited a donation for the Conservative Party from a Russian billionaire. Osborne met Oleg Deripaska 4 times in a singles weekend. No, that can't be right. Yet another allegation. I'm so sorry. 4 times in a single weekend. Quite a different matter. All of this takes, of course, the spotlight off Peter Mandelson, who is apparently as relieved as someone who has no feelings or conscience can be. So 2 points there to Francis. Andy, which US vice presidential candidate?
Is it Joe Biden?
Well, it could be. Shouldn't worry her pretty little head about expense claims. Now, if that question's too difficult, here is a clue. I love this woman so much. It's so difficult to know whether you don't want her to be elected because, you know, you want the world to survive, or how hilarious the last 5 minutes would be.
you're a comedian. You've got to keep your priorities yes. right. And the good news for you, anyway, in that regard, is that she's now trying to distance herself from McCain because apparently there is a faction in the Republican Party that believes she can win it next time.
No.
So we've got another 4 years of the hockey mom. The hockey mom with the Louis Vuitton clothes. I'm out of my comfort zone yeah. now. She's been there, apparently. She's not your average hockey mom. They've been tarting her up by buying expensive haute couture clothes for her.
Money well spent, you have to say. I mean, mm. she looks wonderful on it, doesn't she?
I think France has got a bit of a thing for Sarah Palin.
Well, I think she's, you know, she's rooting, tooting, moose-eating, psychopathic and all the rest of it. But she looks scrumptious, I think, in her... And also, but did you see that, as well as spending all these hundreds of thousands of dollars on her clothes, they even bought the odd suit for her husband, and there were about $300 spent on her six-month-old baby.
Yeah.
It's called Trig.
Yeah.
And what name is that? Is it short for trigonometry?
But all the names are weird, aren't they? All the names are Bristol, Piper...
Alpha.
Omega. But the really frightening thing in that story was...
Dogger. She German bought... bike.
Perspect.
She bought... Flopsy, mopsy. Famine, pestilence, beaky, mick and titch.
But did you see that actually the other wonderful thing this week was all these eminent people, including lots of Republicans like Colin Powell, came out and endorsed Obama. And the only endorsement McCain and Palin got this week was from Al-Qaeda.
Yes.
Yeah. Has he got Al-Qaeda going around knocking up voters then on yeah, the doorstep? Yeah.
We will bust you to police. The
actually, I enjoyed the Colin Powell thing because there was a wonderful thing that says America has been waiting for Powell to pronounce on the election. I thought, well, I've been waiting for him to pronounce Colin correctly.
Francis, do you really fancy Sarah Palin?
No, I just like looking at her.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Palin has spent more than $150,000 on clothes and makeup during the election campaign. She spent over $4,000 on the makeup alone. How is that possible? That surely is enough makeup to conceal the fact that she's actually black. So 2 points there to Andy. Fred, who's sitting in a tree learning about K-I-S-S-I-N-G?
It's the kids.
It is.
Very young kids yep. are going to be learning all about the act of sex.
Well, not that graphically. They're not, are they?
Well, it seems to be. I mean, well, not in that one great leap. Initially, they're going to learn about body parts.
Front bottoms.
Uh-huh. Well put. And then they're going to move on to sex and, which I think is jolly good, relationships. I assume they'll have to cover all the boundaries and say that occasionally there will be a man and a woman who will have the act of sex, but that it meant nothing to the man. And that mummy should really forgive him.
I think it's a good idea that because get it all the giggling out of their systems early on so that when they're taken to see Romeo and Juliet at the Open Air Theatre in Regent's Park, they don't laugh hysterically all the way through. Because Shakespearean actors these days, there's this obligatory crotch grabbing all the way through anything. Petruchio, he has to grab his privates all the way through, and the kids just have it. And this was my birthday treat. watching Romeo and Juliet in the Regent's Park Theatre, and it was like 11-year-olds just having hysterics all the way through. Now, if they'd been exposed to pictures of genitalia from a very early age, to the point that they were mind-numbingly bored with it...
It said that lessons would be given on sex with alcohol and drugs. And I thought, well, they're only five. Come on.
Which lesson are they going to put it in? You know, naturally it goes with science, but do you not think it'd be rather better in home economics? I mean, what a wonderful way to teach girls to time an egg.
Well, the scouts are going to teach sex as
the
well,
scouts,
aren't they?
Apparently. Well, be prepared.
Ging-gang, gooly-gooly-gooly-gooly, watch out. Yeah, yeah. As we used to sing round the guide campfire when I was a girl guide.
Will there be a badge?
Yes, and well, there'll be a sort of, you have to put your woggle in the toggle or whatever scouts do.
Imagine a boy who's only learned about sex from the scouts approaching a girl and saying, I want to put my woggle in your toggle.
And I've got my badge, look, on my...
So the original question was about sex education. The government has announced that children as young as five will be given sex education in a bid to cut teenage pregnancy. Actually, there was a great piece in Tuesday's Times written by somebody called Ross Clark, And he says, it seems to me that any British teenager already has sufficient knowledge by the age of 14 to lead a UN birth control programme in a small African nation. But that hasn't stopped the Scout Association adding sex education to its own curriculum, starting with six-year-old beavers. Jeremy, what research is in its embryonic stages?
Would this be embryos, Sandy?
It would.
God, I've got a mind like a hadron collider that's gone wrong. I don't even know how you say that. Well, it's the embryology bill that's gone through. It's gone through in the teeth of opposition from Ruth Kelly. Because there's this thing about it creating human-animal embryos, which I don't mind as long as they're cute. If it was like one of the young Walton children and a meerkat, I think that would be quite nice. But she's worried, because she said it could open the way to human sperm being used to fertilise animals, and I'm pretty sure you can't do that. I mean, I've seen George Osborne looking very sheepish this week, but I don't think there's any rumour that his dad was a lonely shepherd.
Do you know, they were having a discussion on this on Radio Scotland a few weeks ago when I was driving in. Basically, the host said, we've got a scientist on, and the scientist said that we'll use these stem cells for research into serious diseases like Alzheimer's and neuter moron disease. What? Did I just hear that? And I thought I had misheard it, right? Because but I got in and I actually said to the host of the show, I said, did I hear right this morning? He said, yeah. I said, did you get away with it? He said, no. About a minute later, there was an email came in saying, aye, so is this how we're getting rid of the idiots now, is it?
Yes, indeed. MPs have voted to make Britain one of the first countries in the world to allow groundbreaking embryo research. The Human Fertilisation and Embryology Bill was passed on its third reading in the Commons. Really, you think these MPs could start paying attention the first time round? Anyway, I can tell you that at the end of round one, the scores are Francis and Andy have got 4 points, but so too have Fred and Jeremy. We start round two with a cutting from the Holme Valley Parish Council newsletter regarding the rules of a competition.
The Parish Council is offering two prizes in this competition. There will be one prize of £15 for a Holme Valley resident. In case of a tie, there will be a draw.
And our thanks to Clive Wayne for sending that in. Francis, which exodus might leave Britain Upper Creek without a bull cock?
Oh, the Poles are all fleeing because they came here thinking this was the land of opportunity, and it turned out to be the land of Alistair Darling, and so they run away back to Warsaw, very sensibly. There are 1.2 million Poles in Britain, and a third of them, 400,000, are going home. Because Poland isn't affected by the great crisis that's bringing us all down, because they have proper regulation of their banks, and they're not allowed to go around giving silly loans and doing dodgy credit swaps and things.
They need a topical news quiz in Poland,
I think. Well, they've just started on Polish TV a new soap opera. It's sort of EastEnders, except it's set in London, but it's shown on Polish TV, and it's all about these Poles in London.
It's called Londynski. It's on straightly after Strictly Come Polka, I think. It's
is that what they do at pole dancing clubs?
A lot of them have gone to Iceland, and the Icelanders complain that the Poles don't integrate properly. But you'd think people who like pole dancing would like lap dancing too, wouldn't you?
Hey.
Yeah.
I loved it. They said the writer spent 3 weeks talking to Poles living in Finchley. What's the Polish for glamour, eh? You have to wonder.
What's the Polish for shut it?
A third of Polish people living in Britain will return home next year, driven out by the recession. Yes, it's official. Britain is going down the toilet, and now we'll have no one to fix it. Hey, here's a good one. What happens when you take 400,000 Poles away from Britain? All the scaffolding falls down. I was quite pleased with that. And also a new soap opera for Polish television called Londynski has begun, about Poles living in London.
Are you sure it's Londynski?
Well,
I'm not a Polish linguist, but that doesn't sound right.
I just say that there are 12 consonants at the end? That's all I'm saying to
that's
you.
That's a big score.
It is. I went at them with a lick. I thought it was the only way. Well, let's get Corrie. Well, how would you say that, Corrie?
Well, I don't know. I think how you said it was fine.
There.
Charlotte would have had a go. Charlotte's a very game girl.
Yeah, yeah.
I would actually just do one, not yeah, two.
Really?
Yes.
Londynski.
I think I would have gone for... Or maybe even a CZ might be like a CH.
Okay, you're boring me now.
Ch. CZ is ch.
Ch.
There you go, then.
Londynski.
Londynski.
Londynski. Oh, there'll be letters, but they'll be in Polish, so it'll be fine. A new soap opera, which is currently nameless. For Polish television, has begun about Poles living in London. It's like EastEnders, except the characters have jobs. And so 2 points there to Francis. Andy, have a listen to this.
Tu es ma cam, mon toxique, ma volupté suprême, mon rendez-vous chéri et mon abîme. Tu fleuris au plus doux de mon âme.
Do you know who that is?
Is that Carla Bruni?
Oh, see, there's a point off straight away. Yes, it is.
So hang on, I lose a point for knowing it was Carla Bruni.
Well, why would you?
Well, he said he fancied Sarah Palin earlier. You didn't deduct points for that, did you?
You haven't seen the final score.
Oh, right.
Andy, who's been feeling a little prick? And I can tell you that the answer is not Carla.
It's a story about Sarkozy.
It is, sir. Monsieur Sarkozy.
Seems to have no sense of humour whatsoever. Because someone has been selling Sarkozy-shaped voodoo dolls in France. And rather than just laugh it off or make some joke about it, Sarkozy is threatening to sue them because he says that these voodoo dolls, they're using his image rights.
Is Sarkozy upset because his is life size?
We had a candle of Mrs. Thatcher, me and my wife, which we got in 1979. And we said, we'll burn that the day she loses power. So we had that candle for too long.
We've got the Gordon Brown candle, Andy. No wick. But we also had the Margaret Thatcher one as well, and I said, we'll burn that the day that we've not got any power. Much better idea.
I got sent a leaflet the other day advertising Mrs. Thatcher nutcrackers. Have you seen those? Perfect Christmas present. I don't know why they're coming out now, but they're very impressive. It's a model of Thatcher, but you can use it to crack nuts.
Well, what cracks the nuts? Her thighs?
Yeah. Oh, please!
Who sent you that?
A thing called iWoot. It stands for I want one of those. Not true in this case, actually, but
someone trying to cure you of your crush on Sarah Palin.
Yeah, well, the word's got round.
I can't see you and Sarah Palin. She'd bite your head off after sex.
That's what I would hope. Well, if she's running for president 4 years, assuming she doesn't get in this time, she's got 4 years to twiddle her thumbs. She's got to do something. She might pop over here. See her admirers.
Do some outreach.
Do a few nights at the London Palladium.
You're turning into a stalker now.
Perhaps we should have a Sarah Palin doll. Actually, a talking Sarah Palin doll would be great. It'd give more comprehensive answers than the original. I think that'd be a fantastic thing. The original question was about Nicolas Sarkozy, who has demanded the withdrawal from sale of a voodoo doll in his image, which comes complete with an instruction manual on how to put the evil eye on the president. The doll has been particularly embarrassing for Carla Bruni, who slept with it for a week before realising...
This is great. We finally found someone that we can both do jokes about their height.
2 points there to Andy, although you lost one, obviously, for knowing about Carla Bruni. Right. Fred, which statistics leave us in a sickening state?
Sickies. Clues in the question, isn't it, Sandy? Thank you.
No problem.
And it's specifically the police and people who work for the government have statistically more days off sick than the likes of us, you and I, self-employed, who have very few days off sick.
We don't do much work, though, in fairness.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, my proud boast was that the last census, when they said, how many hours did you work this week, I wrote 40 minutes.
Oh, there was an MP court.
Yes,
oh,
yeah. Working...
Pelling, Andrew Pelling.
Andrew Pelling. Yeah.
The one who got into a spot of bother with his wife and mistress and various people a while ago and then resigned the Conservative whip. I think they sacked him pretty well, didn't they? And he then announced he was taking 6 months off because he was too ill to work as an MP while collecting his salary, and they discovered he was actually moonlighting as a director of, I think, probably Goldman Sachs or something like that.
But he said he wanted to get away from the glare of media interest. Andrew, whatever his name is the MP for Croydon Central. I mean, what a hubbub of media interest.
They've got some of the biggest car parks in Europe in the centre of Croydon, I'll have you know.
No wonder he's got a lot to do.
Croydon's applying to be a city.
It hasn't got a cathedral, has it?
Well, apparently, you don't necessarily...
As long as you've got an Alders or an Arndale or something like
that. I don't know what the rules are, but it is applying to be a city, yeah?
It's got a fine bus station. If you want to get a bus to Penge, that's your place.
Go you can take Sarah Palin there on your first date.
The answer was the shocking revelation that public sector workers are off sick more often than their private sector counterparts. There's also concern at the rise in long-term sick within the police force. Police have been criticised for taking 8.4 days off per person per year. The actual figure was much higher, but they managed to plant a few days here and there on unsuspecting ethnic minorities. So 2 points to Fred. So at the end of round two, the scores are that Francis and Andy have got 7 points, but Fred and Jeremy are in the lead with 8. Before we start round three, here is a headline from the National Air Traffic Service website.
Flights through UK airspace continue to fall.
And our thanks to James Morris for sending us that. Andy, life begins at 40, but what gives up at 39?
Well, I read this earlier in the week, but unfortunately, because I'm 54, my brain can't retain it. Apparently, men are at their mental peak at 39.
Isn't George Osborne 39?
I think he is, you're right. So that's that theory out the window. I don't know how they measured it.
You had to tap your finger on the table.
They asked men to tap their index fingers as fast as they could for 10 seconds, so an essential skill there.
That's not really a test of intellectual capacity, though, is it?
Seven of them didn't identify their index finger.
Actually, there were loads of what I think of slightly dodgy science stories this week. Has anybody got any more science stories?
There's the memory molecule.
Yes, yes, I'll give you another point for the memory molecule.
The Chinese chaps who found the memory molecule, and they can operate on it, and it will wipe out any bad memories, and so it'll help people cope with divorce and bereavement things, simply by, you know, press this little button, and they won't even remember they were married, let alone the name of their spouse. And actually, they won't remember anything that's happened to them the previous night.
They can select.
Same thing you can achieve by 12 flaming drambuies, in my experience, but it's, without having to go into hospital for an operation. But that's what it is.
Yeah, there's another point there for Francis.
But it can selectively erase the memory you want to erase, not the bit that remembers where your keys are. Is that how it works?
Something like that. I don't see how they can select.
They can erase bad memories from your brain. The treatment has already claimed its first success, leading to the reappointment of Peter Mandelson to the cabinet.
There was another theory that said fit people actually lose more weight sitting down as well. So it's not just when they're exercising that they lose weight. While they're just sitting watching the telly, they're losing weight as well, in a way that unfit people aren't.
What is that?
I don't know. Because I'm over 39, I can't remember the rest of the story. How many times do they tap their index finger?
Ten times.
Hang on, I'm going to try it now.
No, you have to do it in 10 seconds.
Index is the middle one.
On the microphone, so you don't do it. 10 times in 10 seconds?
No, more than 10 times. You just do as many times as you can.
Do you know, this is the most gripping radio we've
ever. I think that's my favourite bit of radio.
Yeah, that's very,
since
very
I had to sing with Sooty.
So that was the roundup of dodgy news stories, but we started with, and 2 points to Andy, researchers say that the brain performs best at the age of 39, but after 40, performance declines at an accelerating rate. Actually, my favourite of the sort of faux science, this is fabulous, this is The Telegraph, on Monday had an article, a sort of scare article, said climate change is happening faster than predicted and the Arctic will melt in 5 years. And by Thursday, The Telegraph were reporting that the ice caps have grown by 150,000 square miles since last year. I thought, well, I left my freezer door ajar slightly on Wednesday. That'll explain that change. So 2 points to Andy. Jeremy, this is a terrible story. Where are residents struggling with a mewdunnit?
This is the Stourbridge Triangle. Stourbridge in the West Midlands near Dudley. Has a major cat disappearance problem. Well, they say it's... I mean, 45 cats in 9 years, I don't think is that many. You know, but they're trying to work out, is it illegal fur traders? Is it Sarah Palin on the hunt? Is it chicken franchises with the names of obscure American states? What is it that's causing these cats to disappear? I think it's probably an old lady who's feeding them. Because that's what normally happens when your cat disappears. It's a bored old lady. She says, oh, hello, puss. Wow, you're looking hungry. Your mistress not giving you roast dinners on a Sunday. You come and live with me now. And she's got a house.
You are really
stuffed.
Scary.
She's got 45 obese cats living with her in this house. feeding them pure cream every morning.
The RSPCA said that there aren't any leads. I thought, no, dogs have leads. They should know that. But if people divide up, are we cat or dog people here? Which people are usually one or the other.
Cat.
Cat person.
Editor of the Chateau Book of Cats, then.
Oh, my word.
Cats don't care about you in the way that dogs
they
do.
They don't. We had war in our house 2 weeks ago. We've got three dogs and two cats, and one of the cats took a dump in my golf bag.
No, that was me, Fred. I'm sorry.
Either that or one of the dogs said, wait, you see the row this cat gets. I've just squeezed out a small one. We actually breed dogs, if anybody's interested.
Is that
black,
legal?
Black Labradors, yes. It's a hybrid embryo. You know how they say dogs look like their owners? Well, ours do.
So it was 2 points to Jeremy. Pet owners in Stourbridge fear that catnappers may be responsible for the disappearance of 45 moggies, all from within half a mile of each other. Police are looking for a gang of catnappers or a mouse with a grand piano, an anvil and a stick of dynamite. Before I reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Mr. Ween.
This is from Yana Whitehead in Hampshire. It's from the classified ads in the Chichester Observer. Prince Charles, Lady Diana wedding. Two mugs, two saucers, one thimble. We'll separate.
Andy.
This is from Alec Dick in Stokesley. An anti-drug campaign, which included giving away free pencils on which the slogan, "Too cool to do drugs," had been printed, rather backfired when it was discovered the message became, "Cool to do drugs," then depressingly, just, "Do drugs." As the pencils were sharpened.
Fred.
This is from Miles Wooten in Brighton. A lifeboat crew rushed to help after reports a pensioner with a Zimmer frame had been spotted in the water, only to discover it was an abandoned coffee table.
Jeremy.
This was sent in by Hector Hill in Settle. And... it's an events thing from a local newspaper, but it doesn't say what it is. Wednesday, November the 5th, Settle, WI, 2 p.m, St. John's Hall, Settle. A look at the slave trade. Bring and buy.
Right, let's take a look at the final score. Fred and Jeremy have got 12 points, but this week's winners, with their astonishing science knowledge, are Francis and Andy with 13 points. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Isles of Scilly Now and Then newsletter sent in by David Jordan.
David would like to thank everyone for their cards and best wishes following his recent attempt at skydiving. He'd also like to thank the ambulance team and all at St. Mary's Hospital.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Wheen, Andy Hamilton, Fred McCauley and Jeremy Hardy. And the chair was Sandy Togswig, and the news was read by me, Corey Caulfield. The chair's script was written by Simon Littlefield, Roderick Crooks, James Sherwood and Stephen Carlin, with additional material by Aaron Counter and Liz Stevens. The producer was Ed Morrish.